Turn again to the passage of Scripture that we read a little earlier, to the book of Job and the chapter number 14, Job. And then with chapter 14, with God's word open before us, let us bow together in a short word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight for the open Bible and for the Word of God. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thy Word is truth, that it endureth forever, that it is forever settled in heaven, and it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank Thee, Lord, that it is through Thy Word that souls are made wise unto salvation. And Father, our prayer is this night that Thou wilt take Thy Word, Thine own truth, Lord. We pray, Lord, that Thou would implant it and apply it with power, with the power of God the Holy Ghost, to every heart and to every soul in this meeting, that it would be used, O God, to the building up of every believer in their Christian faith. Oh, that it would be used, O God, to the conversion of souls, and used, O God, to the glorifying of Thy name. To this end, O God, cleanse me afresh in the precious blood. Fill me, Lord, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with power. Thou hast said that if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt hide man far behind the cross, that no man nor voice would be seen nor heard, but the voice of the Lord. Answer prayer, O God, to this end. Give help and enablement and liberty in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. For we ask it in the Lord's great name. Amen. Now death is a solemn reality which many in this life do not want to consider. Why, when it comes to a family, there is heartbreak and sorrow. There is an empty chair. We can say tonight that the closest and the dearest of relationships are severed and are broken by death. When death comes to a home or to a family, that home and that family is never the same again. Yes, with death there is much anguish and heartbreak and sorrow and grief. However, having said this, there are times when death has been turned unto good itself, because through death people have been challenged about eternity, about the brevity of their own life and state, and about their state before God. And through the death of a loved one, God has spoken, and God has used that death to bring others also, maybe in the family or in the community, to a saving knowledge of Christ as their Redeemer. Now this solemn subject of death is mentioned by Job before us tonight. In the words of our text in verse 10 of Job chapter 14, look at that verse. Job is speaking about man before the Lord, and he says, "But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" Now in this life, Job was a man who suffered many trials. He lost his health. He was gravely plagued with ill health. He lost his wealth. He was a man of great estate, yet it was all taken from him. The Bible tells us that in one day, he lost all his children. They were taken from him. And my, if ever a man knew grief and heartbreak, we can say that it was Job of old, the patriarch. However, in the midst of the bitter experiences of life, such was Job's faith and his love and his trust for the Lord, that he could say, "The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in this chapter here before us, Job is speaking to us about the great issues of life and of death and eternity. And can I say that these are issues that must be considered by all men? Yes, these are issues that must be considered by you and I in this gospel meeting this evening. If you and I are to properly and rightly prepare for death and prepare for eternity and be saved by the grace of God. Job says here to us in this verse, "But man dieth." and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? And in these words before us, we see three important lessons about the messenger of death. Recent times, death has visited this community. It has been a messenger, but I wonder what kind of a message has it preached to you? You who sit in this meeting tonight, unconverted, unsaved. Oh, that the messenger of death would make you wise unto salvation, unto your preparation for heaven and for the great eternity. What then are the lessons that you and I can glean from the solemn messenger of death? Well, notice first of all with me from this verse that we see that death is certain for all. Notice here what Job says in verse 10. He says, but man dieth and wasteth away. And Job here really speaks to us about the certainty of death. Job knew that he himself was born to die. He knew that he himself would not live upon this earth forever. Over in chapter 30 of this book, in the verse number 23, he says, therefore I know that thou wilt bring me to death, to the house appointed for all living. Job knew that one day he would die, that he would leave this Asenath time. And can I say this is a truth that we all must take note of? If the coming of Christ tarries, one day you and I in this meeting tonight are going to die. One day our seat in this church will be empty and we will leave the scene of time. And this world that knows us tonight will one day know us no more. Friend, learn this truth tonight. You and I are born to die. You and I are going to die. The psalmist asked the question in Psalm 89 verse 48, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? In other words, he was making the statement that all men will die. It's a certainty should the coming of Christ tarry. Yes, we're going to die. Death is certain. And what is the cause of our death? The cause of our death is sin and all its consequences and all its curse that you and I have inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they fell in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Whenever God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he gave them a command. He said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They were put on probation, so to speak. God says, Adam and Eve, you can live if you do not take this fruit. You all know how Satan came and he tempted Adam and Eve to sin and they took the forbidden fruit. And their eyes were opened and the curse of sin and death was upon them. And from them it has passed upon all of mankind down throughout the history of time. Yes, you and I have inherited from Adam a sinful heart, a sinful nature. The Bible says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now we're all sinners by nature and practice, all born into this world in sin and shapen of iniquity. Because of our sin, each and every one of us in this meeting are condemned to die and to leave the scene of time one day. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And because of sin and man's fall into sin, death is certain for all of Adam's race. Why it's certain? Why, the Bible would teach us that the certainty of our death is something that is appointed by God. Look with me at verse 5 of this chapter. Notice there what Job says before God about man. He says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. My, just as God has set a boundary around the sea that it cannot pass in this world, so, friend, God has set a boundary around your life and around my life. Friend, you will not live one second beyond that boundary that God has passed around your life. Oh, see tonight that your death is certain. Your death is fixed by God. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once that appointed by God. The Bible also shows us that the certainty of death is no respecter of persons. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in the verse 20, listen, it says, all go unto one place. All are of dust and all turn to the dust again, whether a man is rich or poor, whether he is educated or uneducated, religious or irreligious. Death is no respecter of persons. Friend, no matter who you are in this gospel meeting tonight, as the Bible says, you and I must needs die. The Bible also tells us that the certainty of death is irreversible. In other words, you live once in the scene of time, and you die once in the scene of time. There is no reincarnation. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. There is no second chance again. You look at verses 7 to 9 of this chapter before us, you see there how Job tells us that a tree may be cut down, yet it may sprout again if it even has a sniff of water. Notice what he says in verses 7 to 9. He says, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Yes, there is hope for a tree that is cut down, that it will sprout and grow and live again. But friend, learn this tonight. Whenever death cuts you down, there is no coming back for you. Whenever death takes you away, there is no coming back. My, until Christ returns again in power and glory, men will not rise from the grave. But when Christ returns, we're told there'll be a great resurrection. The unsaved will be resurrected unto damnation. The saved will be resurrected unto eternal life. But in this scene of time, before the Lord comes back again, when you die once, there is no coming back. Look at what Job says there in verse 12 of Job chapter 14. He says, so man, notice it, lieth down. He's speaking of the grave here. And riseth not, notice it, till the heavens be no more. He's speaking there of the resurrection morn. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. God's word says it is appointed unto man once to die. There's no second chance, there's no coming back. You know, the Bible also teaches us here that the certainty of death can be very sudden. Look at what Job says in our text. He says, but man dieth. Notice the words, and wasteth away. That word wasteth there really means man is weak, he's brittle, he is easily cut off. The thread of his life can be easily snapped and broken. It's brittle like a twig, like a branch in the tree. You just bend it with your hand and it is broken, it is dead, it is gone. In other words, friend, one moment you are here and the next moment you are gone. Death can come suddenly, like the crack of a rifle. David said, there is but a step between me and death. There's just one step between you and death. Just one step. The Bible says your life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever watched the kettle boil in your kitchen? The water boils up, the vapor comes out of the spout of the kettle and is there just for a few seconds. Then it is gone. God says that's what our life is like, it's brittle. It's easily snapped, easily taken from us. Friend, you don't need me to remind you that death can come suddenly and swiftly. Every week goes by, we hear of young people, older people also, in the prime of life. And their life is taken from them. Maybe by an accident on the road or by some other means, their life is just snapped from them. Just like a step. They're just a breath away. Yes, you and I are only one breath away from death and from eternity. Oh, see this tonight, that death is certain for all. But notice secondly tonight, as we look further here at our text on the messenger of death, that it also shows us that whenever death comes, the soul leaves the body and returns to God for judgment. Notice there what Job says in our text. He says, but man dieth and wasteth away. Notice these words, yea, man giveth up the ghost. Notice the mentioner of the ghost. It's simply another word, an old-fashioned word for the soul of man. In other words, the moment a man dies, his soul leaves the body. It vacates the body. It returns unto God for judgment. By the mention here of the soul of man, it reminds us, you know, that man is different from all the beasts of the field and the animals of the earth. You see, when the animal dies and is buried, why, that's the end. But whenever man dies, this is not the end, because man has a soul that is immortal, that is eternal, that will never die. Remember how God created man, the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and the verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. An immortal soul, an eternal soul, made in the very image of God. My, despite what the evolutionists will tell you, and the false cults, despite what they will tell you, despite what liberal churchmen and ministers will tell you, realize this, you have a real soul. A soul that is immortal, a soul that is eternal, a soul within your body that will never die. Christ says, fear not him which killed the body, but are not able to kill the soul. And the little child is so right whenever they sing that little children's chorus. I've a soul to be saved. Let this truth be engraved on my heart and on my mind while I'm young. Tell me, do you realize that truth tonight? Do you believe that truth in your heart of hearts in this gospel meeting? That you have a soul to be saved? Oh, is that truth engraved and imprinted upon your heart and on your soul? Please realize this, friend, the moment you die, your body will corrupt, your body will waste, your body will return to dust, but your soul will live on forever in the eternity of God. And my, at death, the Bible makes it very clear that your soul will leave the body immediately and rise up to God. Listen to what Solomon says in verse 7 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit, the soul, shall return unto God who gave it. Mine, returning to God, your soul shall be judged by God. You see, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And if you are still unsaved at death, then your soul will face God's judgment because of your sin. In other words, you will be judged for every sin that you have ever committed in your life. Your secret sins and your open sins will all be judged by God. Nothing will be hidden from God. Nothing will be withheld from God. My, just as a criminal must appear before the judge and account for his crime, so you too will have to account for your sins at the judgment bar of God. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. The Bible says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Your soul will rise up to the judgment bar of God, and if you're unsaved, you will be judged for all your sins and all your iniquities. Yes, in our text tonight, Job says, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. Oh, learn this tonight, that at death your soul will take its flight from your body and will rise up to meet God. Rise up to the judgment bar of God. But notice one final thing tonight, just from our text. Not only do we see here that death is certain, and when death comes, the soul leaves the body to return to God for judgment. But notice thirdly, finally tonight, that death is but the door into God's eternity. Look again at what Job says at the very end of our text. He asks this question. He says, "What man dieth and wasteth away? Yea, man giveth up the ghost." And note the question. And where is he? In other words, Job is telling us here that whenever a man dies and his soul is judged by God, his soul goes to either to one of two places. The soul goes either immediately into God's heaven or immediately into hell itself. You read of hell in the Bible tells us that hell is that place where God punishes sin eternally and forever. It's a real place. It's a literal place. Place of eternal torments, eternal anguish, eternal woe. The Bible describes it as a lake of fire. You've seen a lake of water. But can you imagine in your wildest dreams, in your heart and in your mind, a lake of fire burning forever and ever? The Bible describes hell as the place of outer darkness. Some time ago, we were over visiting in Wales, and we went to one of these museums of a coal mine near Cardiff. It's now redundant, but you can take trips down it. We went down many, many feet down into the bowels of the earth. And then the guide that was with us, he just said to everybody to stand still and don't move. And he put out the lights. And my, never seen darkness like it. But you know, it's nothing to the darkness of hell. The Bible describes hell as the place of outer darkness. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 22 and 23, Christ there speaks to us of this awful place. There he speaks of a certain rich man who died in his sin. And he said the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. That man fared sumptuously every day in his life. He had comfort in his life. But when he died in his sin, his soul went into hell. And my, his soul, Christ tells us, is in torments. His soul is still being tormented tonight. And his soul will face torments forever and ever. Torments that will never end, that will never come to a close. How awful is that place called hell? On the other hand, there is heaven. That's the other side of God's eternity. Heaven is where God is. A place of eternal blessedness, eternal happiness. It's the home for all who are saved. All who are redeemed in the family and fold of God. And what a place heaven is. Turn with me in your Bible over to Revelation in the chapter 21. And here John tells you something about heaven. He gives you a little glimpse of heaven, as it were, from God's word. Look at verses 3 and 4 and verse 23 and 27 of Revelation chapter 21. He says there in verse 3 of Revelation 21, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." We were told earlier on that it is a new heaven and a new earth, the eternal abode of the redeemed. Look at verse 23 of the same chapter. It says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon," the complete opposite of darkness, "to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. and the Lamb, that is Christ, is the light thereof. Verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The Bible says, I have not seen, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. The hymn writer, speaking of heaven, says, what must it be to be there? What must it be to be there? It's the complete opposite of hell. The complete contrast of hell. In hell there is pain, there is torments, there is blackness, there is darkness. But in heaven there is light, there is no pain, there is no tears, there is no night. Hell is void of the presence of God. The presence of God fills heaven with all the glory of God. What a place heaven will be. Friend, we want to say to you tonight, whenever you come today, your soul will go to one of these two places. Your soul will either go to hell, or else your soul will go to heaven. That's what the Bible says when men die. And where your soul will go in eternity depends what you have done in life with God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the Savior of sinners. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He died upon the cross, the Bible says, to seek and to save that which is lost, to provide a remedy for man to be saved from his sin and saved from the judgment of his sin and to be sure of heaven. The Bible says there, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a verse. Christ came to this sin-cursed world, this world that had turned its back upon God, to save poor, hell-deserving sinners like you and I. There once was an ungodly father dying in his deathbed, and as he was dying, he was concerned about his soul. Concerned about his sin. He knew nothing about God, yet he had this realization that he was a sinner and he was going to meet God, and he was afraid on his deathbed. He spoke to his wife about how somehow or some way he might know some peace or some comfort on the deathbed. They were an ungodly husband and wife, no time for God, for God's house, God's day, the things of God. But the little daughter called Mary, who went to children's meetings, who went to Sunday school. And Mary, as a little girl, was taught the gospel. She heard the word of God, and she herself had trusted the Lord as her own and personal Savior. And the wife sent for little Mary to come and to speak to her dying dad. The dad spoke to Mary about the trouble of his heart, that he knew he was dying. He knew he was going to face God. He was concerned about his sin. And he says, how can I get peace? How can I get rest? How can I get comfort on my deathbed? You know what little Mary said to her dying father to bring comfort to his soul in the time of his need? She said, Daddy, there's a great verse that I've learned as a child. And it was this. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners. She said, Daddy, the Lord says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. She went on to say to her father, the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And she left those verses with her dying father. And in his final moments, through hearing the witness of his little daughter, that man dying in his sin called upon the Lord to save his soul, to fit him for heaven, and to make him right with God. And he knew that if he was to be in heaven, he must heed the message of his little girl, call upon the Lord and trust him as his own and personal Savior. And friend, if you are to be in God's heaven, if you are to be saved from your sin, what must you do? As a penitent sinner, you must turn to Christ. Confess your sins to Christ. Trust in the blood of Christ alone shed upon the cross of Calvary to wash away your sin. My, when you call upon the Lord will hear your call. He'll forgive your sins. He will save your soul. He will fit you for heaven. What does Jesus say in the Gospel of John when he speaks there about heaven? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The hymn writer says, the way of the cross leads home. What are you going to do tonight with Christ? On the other hand, if you go on living in your sin, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and my, if you die in your sin, realize this, that your soul will be eternally lost in hell forever. Listen to what Christ said to those who rejected Him as Savior. He says, if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And listen, He says, and whether I go, ye cannot come. That's what Christ says to all who reject Him. If you die in your sin, Christ says, whether I go, ye cannot come. You cannot come to heaven. You cannot come to glory. Well, if you are to enter into heaven and enter into God's glory, now in time you must enter into God's salvation. Are you repenting of your sin, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting Him as your own and personal Savior? John Calvin, the great Protestant reformer, died a saved man. In his deathbed, he had the assurance that he was going to heaven, that all was well with his soul. Why? Because he was saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had another brother called Charles. And it is said of him that he died in his sin and he went to hell. Why? Because he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Lived in the same time, the same age as his brother John. One was saved. The other was lost. Friend, how will it be with you? 1 minute, 1 second, 1 moment after you die. Where you'll be in eternity depends upon what you do with Christ. The hymn writer says, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral. You cannot be. What are you going to do with Christ tonight? If you reject Him, He will reject you in the judgment. He will cast you down into hell. But if you accept Him as Savior, He will accept you into heaven. What's His great promise? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What blessed words those are. Christ says, Him, if you come to me, He says, I will not cast you out. Oh, this night may you trust Him as your Savior. Call upon Him to save you. And then for your soul at death, it will be for you, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh, prepare tonight for death. Prepare for eternity by trusting Christ and accepting Him to be your own and personal Savior.